consummate heel, forming the Dangerous Alliance, and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, welcome. This is Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy. It's Monday, November 28th, 2022, and off of a fresh week's rest or something like that. Did you know I was on vacation, Buster?
No, didn't know. I'm glad you got a little time off.
Thanks. Appreciate that. That means you weren't listening. So, yeah, had a lot of people picking up the slack when I was gone. And big thanks to Marissa, former intern Marissa. We now call her Junior. She's the junior production assistant here in the house. And Marissa.
My computer doesn't let me download it, and so unless I'm in the truck, I can't hear.
Oh, I see. We're going to go with that excuse. Okay, no problem. So
yeah. Now I got a new computer, and the county blocks that download.
You know, your phone acts as a computer too, right?
Well, they control that too.
Oh, they do. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, you can actually go to the website on your phone and listen to the archives or listen live, and it's KNTRtalk.com. But I digress. Anyway, I was thinking those people who helped make my vacation possible. When you go on vacation in my world, that you need like three people to help pick up the slack. And Steve Greeley, our owner, of course, takes care of the traffic when I'm gone. And then we had former Bullhead City PIO Steve Johnson. I think you know him, Buster. He was doing the news all week. So so that was kind of cool. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in some of the city or county officials' cars or their homes when they're listening to the news on Radio Central and Steve Johnson's voice comes on. Wouldn't that have been fun?
Yeah, probably thought they got some old show.
Exactly. So anyway, thanks to everyone for helping to give me some rest. I needed a mental week off or 10 days. So that's exactly what happened, and I hope everybody out there had a great Thanksgiving holiday, as I did, and went to Vegas, saw the fam, and everybody actually got together on one page this year, Buster. No soccer tournaments. It was crazy.
Oh.
I think that's because of Thanksgiving. So all we had in common soccer tournament-wise was the World Cup, and, of course, the U.S. Playing tomorrow to advance to the knockout round, the round of 16, as they call it. The knockout round, because that's when you don't end the game in ties. When the knockout round comes, you end the game with overtime or extra time, as we call it, or penalty kicks. So that's how that works. The USA playing Iran tomorrow, so that should be very interesting, both on a international level and on a soccer skills level. And if you haven't figured it out yet, folks, no nasty grams needed. My guest today is District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson. Welcome to the show, Buster, again.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thanks to your assistant, of course, for helping to make this possible. Sarah Hall gets it done there in the office here in Lake Havasu. And I actually had to go online. I didn't have it on paper here as to the sports schedule for tonight. But it's Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. The 5:30 pregame, 6:10, 6:15-ish Arizona time for the kickoff, and that's at KNTR. It will not be on KNTRsports.com, but the schedule is, and it's on 980 AM, 94.3 and 100.5 FM for Bullhead City, Mojave Valley, and again, 94.3 in Havasu and Kingman, as well as 980 AM. So there you have it. We'll have the full schedule up hopefully later today. If I can get caught up on my emails and everything else, with the first of the month coming. So there you have it. I got tickets to Lake Havasu Community Choir, A Season for All. And that is a concert on, and it's not free, on Sunday, December 4th at 3 o'clock. And that's at the Lake Havasu Performing Arts Center, also known as the high school. Or it's at the high school, and it's $10 admission for adults, $5 for students. And I've got four tickets right here for giveaways during the show. Just give me a call during the break, and I'll hook you up with those. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And let's see. You thought, Buster, that you were only going to have one meeting today when it came to the election. But I just got a call from Roger Galloway at the county saying, no, this is to be continued. So what in the heck is going on?
The board, some of the board members wanted more time to do some more research. You know, we've continued since last Monday, so now it's coming back at 2 o'clock.
Coming back, what were you supposed to do this morning, or what was the intent of the board this morning?
To certify the election in Mojave County, you know, so it, we would certify the election saying that Mojave County's election results were true and accurate.
But weren't Mojave County's results true and accurate? What's the problem?
You have to ask the other board members. They're the ones that want to continue it. The problem we have is, you know, we have to do it today, and there are, you know, by statute, we have to do it today, or we could face, you know, I guess criminal and civil penalties if we don't do it. And then also the votes wouldn't be counted from Mojave County. And if we're worried about election results, that would, you know, give, you know, especially if they're talking about Republicans, that would disenfranchise our people, because then the governor race would have more votes for the Hobbs, and the Secretary of State would have more votes for the Dem, and Attorney General would have more votes, you know, as a Dem. State Treasurer wouldn't make any difference. The school superintendent would, because that's only, I think, a little less than 9,000 votes, so right, that would change to a Dem. And then if we don't do it, then that means that everybody in Mojave County, you know, the local elections, like all of our judges, would have to be appointed by the new, which is obviously going to be the Democrat governor. She would have to appoint in January, you know, whoever she wanted to appoint. And I don't know who would appoint the school boards in those local races. It would throw out all, it would just basically nullify the election process in Mojave County.
So you're saying that all contested races between Republicans and Democrats would face an appointment type process by Governor-elect Hobbs in the county, right.
Well, for the Superior Court, she would appoint. I don't know if she appoints the lower down races, you know, because I don't know about the school board and those.
Well, Superior Court, those judges ran unopposed.
Right, but they would have, that's what we were told by our attorney, that our votes wouldn't count, you know, no votes would count. So they would basically get no votes. There'd be like an election wasn't held.
Yeah, they. I heard the term, and I can't remember what it was. Something like vacated.
All of those
votes. Does that mean we would have another election?
No.
I don't understand the purpose. And what are the criminal penalties?
I'm not sure, because I didn't really want to go there.
I see.
I'm not looking forward to going to jail. That's not on my bucket list.
Yeah, right. You're used to putting people in jail, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of me going to jail just doesn't sit right with me now.
So
it's a federal prison where they can teach me to play golf and stuff, you know, maybe I could do that.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe a little bocce ball or something like that.
Yeah.
So who are the supervisors that were opposed to this? And obviously, it must have been a majority.
Yes, Supervisor Angus, Supervisor Gould, and Supervisor Lingenfelter.
They were all against certification. They wanted more time, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I don't understand. Unless this is coming from somewhere up in the state Republican Party, I don't know. Where is this coming from?
Well, I know there's a lot of, you know, people upset with the way Maricopa did their election, and, you know, I have no any insight into how Maricopa did theirs, whether it was good or bad or anything, but, you know, I look at it as I have to certify Mojave's election and let Maricopa take care of their own. And that's the way I feel. That's what my job is, to say that our election was done correctly, and if it wasn't, then I need to get in there, and, you know, or as a board, we need to get in there and make sure that we make any corrections. But nobody's brought up any discrepancies in Mojave County's election, so it's my opinion that we do our job and canvass the election and send those ballots down. If Maricopa has a problem, then they need to straighten it out themselves.
Buster, do you think it's important to reassure Elections Director Alan Tempert that this has no reflection on him?
Yeah, he gets paid to do his job, so.
Do you feel that he's done his job?
Yes. Yeah, he did his job. He got the ballots done, collected and counted, and, you know, we didn't have any problems. I didn't have people calling me up saying, hey, I couldn't vote, or I had a problem getting in to vote or anything like that. So, his election went off without a problem, as far as I can see.
So do you think, even though the board should certify the election, do you think there's another way to maybe protest how things were done in Maricopa County? Do you think the board could come out with a statement or a letter or both?
Well, I guess I have a problem with telling somebody else how to do their job when I know nothing about it, you know. I mean, we're elected to represent Mojave County. How Maricopa does theirs is a total different process, and they're the ones that should be held accountable by the people that elect them if they think there's a problem. And I think there's already been at least one lawsuit filed, you know, to see if they can, you know, overturn an election. And
yeah, there's a
Maricopa is where it should be done, so
yeah.
Not in Mojave.
Yeah, there's a big surprise, right? I'd like to hear what our listeners think. If you have a question for Buster, give us a call, 928-854-5687. Buster's on the phone, but he's on a special phone line for guests, and our listener line is open at 928-854-KNTR. So the next meeting then, the meeting has been continued until 2 p.m., Do you see any resolution? Do you see anybody wavering, either Supervisors Angus, Gould, or Lingenfelter, to where this election gets certified and this gets put behind us?
At this point, I'm not sure. I thought, you know, from our Monday's meeting, everybody agreed that our election was done fairly and that they were making a political statement. But today, they brought up other questions, and I think Supervisor Gould, I can't remember exact motion to begin with, wanted to look at bringing somebody in to check our votes, which the attorney told us he couldn't do because it wasn't agendized. But if they, you know, if they feel strong in their convictions, then they'll vote not to certify them. That's their right, you know. If they think they, you know, feel strongly about it and feel that, you know, our election wasn't done fairly, then they'll not certify it. That's it, right. That's what a democracy is.
All right. Interesting. Very interesting. I'd like to get Brother Jim's take on all this, but Brother Jim's in Mexico. What are you going to do, right? Sent me a text this morning, and I thought that he was coming in, and then I remembered he told me in an email, I don't know, about 10 days ago, that he's chasing scorpions out of his house in Mexico. So there you have it. I was going to put a silver alert out on him, you know? I wasn't sure what to do. He's like the alarm clock going off, man. He's always here when it comes time to being on the radio. All right. District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson, our guest, and music du jour, of course, classic country. We got some Johnny Cash for you.
All right.
Sounds good. Sounds like a ring of fire up there in Kingman this morning, right?
It was.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out. We'll continue after a short break. Stay with us.
The ring of fire. The ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet. When hearts like ours meet.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, a little classic country. Some Jeannie C. Riley going out to District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson. The board, I think the Harper Valley PTA is a little more organized than the board right now. What do you think?
Well, you don't have got an opinion. That's what we have those meetings for, to hash it out. So, you know, I respect the other members, you know, opinions. And if they want to vote, let them vote.
Absolutely. I wasn't really looking for a comment. That was more of a rhetorical question.
Okay.
but very well done. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, and by Patio Paradise, also Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Go online to LesOlson.com/Kingman. LesOlson.com/Kingman. OLSON.com. All right. Let's see. We've got something Buster may be interested in here. The Lake Havasu City Christmas Tubas. You heard about this?
No, I haven't heard about that one.
This is our 20th annual concert presented on Saturday. I know, 20 years, right? Saturday, December 3rd. That's this Saturday at 6 p.m. at Christ Chapel Community, which is also known as Community Presbyterian Church on Chemehuevi. All high school, college, and professional tuba, sousaphone, euphonium, and baritone players are invited to perform. I didn't even know about the last two. Sousaphone and euphonium. I don't know what that means. All right. So I'm going to get a call here from some brass people. You watch. Musicians who would like to join us on December 3rd must contact Doug Lose at 928-680-0743. And Doug will fill you in on all the rest. So a Christmas Tubas concert, the 20th annual here in Lake Havasu City this Saturday. All right, we're back with District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson, and I want to talk about something that happens every year. Kind of seems like a big deal, but I guess it's not. You're going to be choosing a new supervisor's chairman. So Chairman Gould will have done his year of service, and then come January, I guess, what is it, the first January meeting, or is that coming up? Have you already chosen the chairman, or how's that work?
Yeah, we chose, we just got to go in rotation, so Supervisor Langenfelter will be the new chair, but we just made it official at the last meeting so that it gives them time to change all the letterhead and everything. There's quite a bit yet to notify the state and everybody of, you know, who the chair is. So then in January is when he'll take over.
Oh, very good. Very good. I thought maybe it was going to be him, but I wasn't sure. They were talking about it last year, but he didn't have quite a year on the board yet. So is that why?
We just kind of rotated through. You know, some places do it different. You know, everybody votes, and it's, you just run the meetings. This doesn't give you any additional authority or anything. So, you know, I don't particularly care for the chairmanship, because then you have to, at least in my opinion, the chair is there to break ties. So it kind of takes away your individuality a little bit.
Oh, sure, sure. That makes sense. And then you more or less have to run the meeting. It's not like you have a clerk there that reads all of those items, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because a lot of city councils or other, you know, organizations, and that, they'll have the clerk read those items, but I just thought it was interesting. The supervisor's chair does that at your meetings, which makes for a lot more work for the chairman, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. They got to pay a lot more attention and, you know, try to get everything in. You know, everything is posted, so I figure, you know, if somebody shows up or is watching, and my opinion was, you know, you just say, hey, we're up to item 34, and it's posted there for the backup and the item, you know, to make the meeting go faster. It's up to the individual how they want to do it.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. And then you have the letters that you have to sign off on that represent the board and all of that sort of thing. So you've been chairman quite a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, quite a few times now. And it takes a lot of time, like you said, with the signing of the documents that you have to do after the meeting and, you know, making sure everything is filled out correctly. And then you are technically in charge of the agenda after it's posted, so if anybody wants a late item, I didn't allow late items unless it was from an elected official. If it was a county employee, they have plenty of time to get their stuff ready, so I was kind of deaf on, you know, like, no, you're not gonna do a late ad, you know. 'Cause I always think late ads are, you know, they put them on, and then the public doesn't have a chance to see what's on, so because you can do it up to 24 hours in advance, and then if the, you know, not everybody sits and watches to see what the county is putting on the agenda, so if there's something they wanted to see and they didn't know it, it kind of throws them off. So I think that people should have at least a week to review the agenda, and if there's something they want to comment on or show up and talk about, I think they should have the time to do it.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. Something else that would make sense that I'm not sure that goes on now would be a little extra stipend for the chairman if you have to do all that extra work. Is that something that's happening now, or has anything been proposed?
Nah, we're not working that hard.
it's just a little hand cramping, right, that goes on,
yeah,
from signing all that stuff. What do you call that? Writer's cramp. That's right.
That's it.
All right, let's take another short break. We'll come back and we'll talk about another hot topic facing supervisors these days, or at least it was a hot topic, the medical examiner's office. And it's drawn some attention from some Phoenix media, and I want to get to, well, not the bottom of it, but we'll get Buster's take on what's going on with I don't want to call it a controversy yet. Everything's called a controversy for some reason. You notice that? So
lately that everything is.
Yeah, just because Fox 10 gets involved with a two-part series, you know, doesn't automatically make it a controversy, but we'll let the listeners decide. So give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. We've got those Lake Havasu Community Choir tickets here. Been sitting here because we were dark all last week. It's called The Season for All. $10 tickets will give you exactly two, if you want them, $20 worth of concert tickets from the Lake Havasu Community Choir. It's this Sunday at 3 p.m., Lake Havasu Performing Arts Center. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't know how to take him. He ain't wrong, he's just different, but his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right. Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
There you go, Buster. That one's just for you.
Thank you. I like you.
Let's see if I can get some Jeannie T. Riley on for you, all right?
Okay.
That's what you were asking for, right? Weren't you asking me for that during the break?
Oh, Johnny Paycheck or Jeannie T. Riley?
Jeannie T. Riley.
Oh, yeah, I always liked her.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I wasn't sure if... there you go. I didn't have enough time to cue that up, so that's what you get, is the Johnny Paycheck. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, Herb's Herbs, Sun Power by Esme Electric, samsguns.com, and by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And don't forget to love where you live and shop local. And our archives, in case you missed any of this, are at kntrtalk.com, and we stream live there as well. And don't forget about the archives at the Lake Havasu City app, now solely owned by Alyssa Zawisa, and it's available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. I think Alyssa's going to be on the program here sometime soon as well. Speaking of guests, tomorrow we have Andrea Foote on from Anderson, the Anderson Auto Group. She's going to be talking about their toy drives that are coming up. And then you've heard me talk about Tim Giles, and he's a pastor at Inspire the Church. Tim's going to be on tomorrow talking about their recent food drives and helping out Colleen Mattinson with the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank. And then on today's show on Speak Out 2.0, Sheriff Doug Schuster from the Mojave County Sheriff's Office. That ought to be a good show. Sometimes it's Sheriff Schuster. Sometimes it's Under Sheriff Traficante, and you just don't know because Doug is so busy if he can make it in. But usually, if he's listed on as a guest, he will be on Speak Out 2.0. And, you know, this is kind of a good segue because I've always thought, Buster, and we kind of teased it before the segment, the medical examiner situation for the county. And San Bernardino County handles it out of their sheriff's office, the whole medical examiner process, the county coroner, if you will. If you Google county coroner for San Bernardino County, it takes you right to the sheriff's office website. Why isn't that done here? And would we still be in kind of the mess that we're in now if it was done that way?
Well, I think they like the separation out here of having the coroner by himself, you know, so there's no conflicts of interest with, you know, especially, I mean, they can always go out to other agencies when you have an officer-involved shooting and stuff, but, you know, since I got into office, I've been pushing to try to bring that coroner's office back in under the county's umbrella. I mean, we sub it out right now to other people. We have since I've been in, and we've always done it that way, I guess, in Mojave County, but it should be under our control, where we hire the coroner, you know, we pay them, they're a county employee, so we have more control over exactly what's done at the coroner's office and get the answers. Now, when you have a subcontractor doing it, it's a lot more convoluted. You know, we didn't have, in all the years I've been on, I didn't even know the people that do the mortuary business, you know. I mean, I knew some of their names, but never dealt with them until we got this new setup that we have now, and all of the mortuaries are complaining about the way it's run. So I have to believe that it's, you know, the people we hired that are causing the problems, because I never heard from our people before.
Yeah, I saw part one of the report on Fox 10 and out of Phoenix, and it looked as though, especially from a Lake Havasu standpoint or Lake Havasu City, that the coroner wasn't doling out the work wasn't being doled out evenly to all of the mortuaries. Is that right?
They have a rotation. So say somebody in your family passes away,
uh-huh,
and the sheriff's department comes out, and then say it's obviously looks like the coroner's or the medical examiner investigators come out, and if it appears to be natural causes, then it's sent to a mortuary.
Okay.
So if you don't have a preference, you know, if you say, you know, maybe you have it set up with one, you know, a lot of people pay in advance to have, you know, their final resting and everything done. So they say, yeah, I want to be taken to this mortuary. But if you didn't have anything set up, then they are supposed to call whoever's up on the rotation, and that body then goes to that mortuary, and
I see.
They set it up. They're saying that people have had a preference, and that we're not using that. So that was part of the problem that's coming up from there. We're also saying, there are people also saying that, you know, we have a discrepancy in the amounts of bodies that are, that the mortuaries say they got, but the county is giving a different number, which is a higher number.
Well, that's interesting.
So, yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, I mean, in this day and age, you have, you know, a lot of, you know, a real great thing to be talking about, but body harvesting where
you
know, organs and things are used. And so the mortuaries are concerned, which is obviously makes a lot of sense, because they're saying that, you're saying we got, you know, I'm just making a number of 54 deceased bodies, and we're saying we only got 34.
Ooh.
Now, if the state or somebody asks us where those other 20 bodies are at, we have no idea. And so, you know, people could get into trouble doing that. And plus the idea that, you know, we want to know exactly where everybody went in the county. I mean, that's
right.
The final act for our citizens, and we should be taking care of them and showing the respect that they're due.
Hey, Buster, we have a phone call from a listener.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah. Hi, this is Kristen with Late Spray Funeral Home.
Well, hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'd like to get your take on this, or do you have a question for Buster?
No. Well, I can answer any questions. My only concern is, as you know, we've been working
hold on.
Very closely.
Kristen, hold on. Do you have your radio on?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. We're getting some weird feedback for some reason. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So, as you know, we've been working with the county trying to take care of the concerns that we have with the numbers that are being given by the medical examiner's office.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers obviously do not match, and that is a huge concern. So, originally, our numbers that they provided that are on their website show that I am currently, or was, down 108 cases that supposedly were brought into my care.
Okay.
Currently, after they redid the documentation prior to last meeting, they're showing I'm still missing 34 cases.
Is that 34 bodies?
That would be correct. According to Mojave County Medical Examiner's Office and the Public Health Director's report that they gave to us prior to last week's meeting, our numbers do not match up, and we are still missing 34 bodies that were supposedly brought into our care.
Kristen, let me ask you this. Buster, can you hear okay?
Sure.
Okay, let me ask you this. You said Kristen, right?
Yes.
Those 34 cases, as you referred to them, or 34 bodies, does that work out anywhere else to where maybe they were credited to somebody else, another mortuary or another service, and not Lee's phrase? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because the county coroner, I mean, let's be frank here. The 300-pound elephant or 800-pound elephant in the room is that the person that was assigned to take over this is in your business, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So are any of those cases that you're missing, would they have ended up at another facility or facilities that you can tell?
Yes, that is very possible.
Really?
And that's really what we're trying to find out. Because if anyone ever came back and said, you know, you were given 30 cases this month and I really only had 20,
right,
then I'm responsible for those missing 10.
So it's possible they could be either in Mojave Valley or Kingman or both. Buster, is there an audit process where they could find this out?
Well, hopefully. I mean, there should never be a mistake like this. I mean, we have chain of custody, you know, in law enforcement, and we obviously should have chain of custody in the disposition of the bodies that are left into Mojave County's custody. So,
absolutely.
I just can't imagine how we have this problem. I just don't understand it myself at all.
We're talking about human beings here that are deceased. I mean, these aren't just cases. Is there a chain of custody process here, Kristen? How does that all work on your end?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things, you know, we know every case that is brought into our care, and we took our numbers and matched it with the Lake Havasu Police Department numbers, and ours match. So we are, there's no discrepancy between our numbers and what we're actually given by the local police department.
Right.
And it should be very simple. They just gave us a new report that said, okay, we got 9 this month. Those 9 should have a name. Right? Very simple.
Absolutely.
You said I got 9. So give me the names, and I'll match it to my records.
Well, and then you have death certificates that are issued as well. And I'm sure there's a bottom line here as far as money goes, correct? What's the financial impact on 34 bodies?
Oh, it can be a lot. But my concern is that families aren't being given a choice. They're automatically being sent to other funeral homes. They're going on a rotation schedule, if that. And they're going there, and then they're being told that they have to be taken care of by that funeral home. So some of them were not being given the choice.
Kristen, let me ask you this, and I want to let the listeners know, too. This is a spontaneous phone call. I have not talked to Kristen today, yesterday, or the week before. This is not a scheduled guest. And I appreciate the phone call, believe me. But would it help matters any? I mean, you have Supervisor Johnson on the line right now, who's your county supervisor, who, you know, your funeral home is in his district. Would it help if the bodies that came in and Havasu were assigned to you instead of on a rotation basis, or those people that died in Mojave Valley or Bullhead City or Kingman or Chloride, if they went to the nearest mortuary or funeral provider?
No, I mean, there was a rotation schedule only to be used if a family doesn't have a choice.
I see.
Okay. And so regardless, like, we cover our Havasu location, covers Lake Havasu, my Kingman covers Kingman in some outlying areas. We currently do not provide service to families in the Bullhead or Mojave Valley area unless the family selects us.
Buster, let me ask you this. Who has oversight on this issue? Is this the health director's purview?
Yes, the health director has it, and then ultimately the board has oversight of the health director.
So what does the health director say in all this, Dr. Chad Kingsley?
Basically, he doesn't seem to think there's a problem.
Well, that's interesting, because we're hearing, is Kristen the only funeral director that has the problem here, or are there other mortuaries that are impacted?
No, basically hearing from all of them except the one who's run by the guy who has the contract for the coroner's office.
Which would be John Hassett.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. And he owns, is it Desert Lawn?
Yes.
Okay. So,
Well, he doesn't own it anymore. He sold it now, but he's managing it, I believe.
Right. And I'm not pointing any fingers or anything like that. I'm just looking for a solution. Does anybody on the phone, either you, Supervisor Johnson, or Kristen, do you have a solution to all this?
Well, hopefully the county is going to figure out where the bodies are. That was kind of the direction the board gave. So we're waiting to see if they can straighten that out.
Okay, Kristen, you were going to say something?
The solution would be to provide the names to the numbers that you said I had.
Oh, I see. Right. Absolutely. I understand. Did you want to add anything else before we let you go?
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, my job is to protect the county and my city and my families. And when families aren't being given a choice and their loved one is delayed because it's taking too long for them to be released from the medical examiner's office, that's when I have to step in and voice my opinion, because it's very unfair.
No, absolutely. Have you been contacted by Fox 10 during their investigation?
Yes, I have.
You have? Okay. So I don't know if that's ongoing or not. We'll just have to keep an eye on it. Well, but thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the show. We really appreciate your input.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And a little surprised on my end, Buster, that we got a phone call.
It's a bad time for the family who loses a loved one. You know, I mean, it's the last thing you think about. You know, I mean, you all know that, you know, we get old and, you know, accidents happen and that sort of thing. But it's a real emotional time for the family, and they really need things to run smoothly. And so, you know, we've had... You know, the one thing that one of the things that really upset me was the fact fact that we had one case where the person, where our medical examiner said it was, I can't remember, it was something to do with the heart they died from, you know, a heart problem.
Sure.
It was an elderly lady, and the family said she never had a heart problem. And so they had their own autopsy done and found out she choked to death on a piece of chicken.
Oh.
And things like that really bother me when you, you know, you have a right to know how your loved one, you know, what caused them to expire. And, you know, somebody shouldn't have to go through the process of paying for their own autopsy to find out how somebody died. And everybody wants to know that, you know. I mean, you go, hey, you know, so-and-so was old and they passed away. I know we had one case in L.A. when I was a deputy where a gentleman, they showed up to, because he had passed away, and he was an older gentleman and he was real frail. And they just said, well, you know, he's an older guy, and he passed away, just like we all will. And our guys investigated it more, mm-hmm. and they found that he had recently married this young woman, and she had starved him to death. And so without, you know, following up, they never would have known that.
Yeah, whatever happened to natural causes anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. And nowadays, I guess with all the medications and everything we take, boy, you never know. We didn't have this kind of problem when I worked in L.A. because, you know, if I went on a dead body call, then we'd find out that we'd look and see if they had medications prescribed by a doctor. We'd call the doctor and say, hey, you were treating this person, and they just expired. Will you sign a death certificate? And they would say, yes, this is what happened. We don't seem to be getting that out here, and I don't know what the problem is.
Yep.
We've had a lot of doctors refuse to sign off.
Yeah, but Kristen at Leeds Phrase brings up a great point, you know. Without saying it, did we have this problem before our medical examiner resigned recently and the whole office had the shakeup? We didn't have this problem, did we?
No, and we actually have the same medical examiner, but because he was hired by the people that took over, Haslett's people, to do it, but he's taken more time off, and we're not sure who's filling in, so sometimes we're not getting the autopsies in a short period of time, which delays things. We had a problem there for a while where bodies were being taken to funeral homes before they were taken to the coroner's office, and so the coroner wouldn't know that they had a body coming in. At least that's what they said. So if you were looking for your deceased relative, the coroner would say, we don't have them. Well, you'd say, well, somebody just picked them up, you know, 2 hours ago. Where are they at? You know, we got that straightened out, you know, where now they go straight to the coroner's office. But, you know, just a lot of things that just weren't run professionally.
It just seems like there needs to be more oversight. And I know that the county health department has the oversight on all this, but I just can't see where there can be no problem, as Dr. Kingsley says, and as I've read in published reports, you know, maybe something needs to be straightened out here, and there needs to be new procedure or something. I don't know, but I have a feeling this is not over. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct. I mean, I'm not going to let it go.
Good.
And a lot of people, like we said, if it was your loved one that, you know, passed away, the last thing you want to do, I mean, you want to, you know, have their funeral service and kind of put it behind you. You don't want to be involved in litigation or, you know, saying this wasn't done right. You know, you lost your loved one, so the last thing you want to do is dwell on the, you know, the fighting over going to which mortuary or what the coroner's doing. So it's hard for those people to, you know, get involved in things, and I think that's the board's responsibility to do that for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One last topic, real quick, if you want to touch on it, is the cyber training, and I know that Havasu played a big role in that, right?
Right. We set it up so that the public could come and listen and hear from our IT people and ask any question they wanted, you know, about security for their internet, you know, for their Facebook, for their phone. We had a good turnout here in Lake Havasu. A lot of people had a lot of questions, and, you know, because we all have questions. We see where people are getting scammed on the internet all the time and everything, and you don't know who to go to, you know, especially nowadays with younger people too, I guess, but they're a little more tech savvy than the older generation, and you don't know where to go and who you can trust. And so our guys came out and gave a class, and it went over real well, and we got really good response from the Havasu area.
Oh, that's great. Hopefully we'll have more in the future then. Perfect. Buster, thanks for joining us on this Monday.
Sure.
We're not going to see you or hear from you until January. Your date lands during our two-week Christmas break. So we'll see you in January. Thanks for joining us.
All right. See you then. Have a good Christmas.
All right. Thank you, sir. You too. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, doing this one piece at a time on Speak Out. Stay with us.
And the next day I got me an engine and a trunk. Then I got me a transmission and all the chrome. The little things I could get in my big lunchbox, like nuts and bolts and all four shocks.
Changed my mind, but Mama tried. One and only rebel child.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Coming up next, after news and a short break, Speak Out 2.0 with guest Sheriff Doug Schuster, or somebody from the Mojave County Sheriff's Office. All right, stay with us after news and a short break. It's Speak Out 2.0 coming your way next.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.